Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, Hari Bol, I hope that you spent a restful night here in New Vrindavan. Usually the first night in a different bed, a different setting, and a different task ahead of us requires some, going into the thing, some accommodation, some acclimatization. So today, in this morning lecture, I would like to set the tone, if you want, or the theme of the workshop. I consider this today and this lecture and the workshop perhaps most essential, and therefore I decided to place this at the beginning of our Holy Name Immersion retreat, as well our mind is fresh to listen to new subjects. It will be for some of you a discovery, and you will have to see, well, what do I do with this discovery? But before starting, I wish to again say I'm so pleased to see all of you. I remember many, many, many faces. And sometimes in my heart I think, strange, we know each other, but rarely do we find the opportunity to talk deeply with each other. With deeply, I mean beyond this, how are you, is your health okay, from where did you travel, you know, these normal ways in which a communication is opening. I think just like in chanting, where there are head waters and then there is the deep flow, and in relationships also there are beginnings of relationships where you cannot expect that it is extremely fulfilling and deep, but if you stay with them, with these relationships, just like if you stay with the Holy Name, yes, you will obtain great, great benefit. So, yes, let us, before we start this session, the heart of chanting, I would like to tell you a very interesting, I will give you a sign, episode. It's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat in the Matya Lila 23rd chapter. There, Lord, is the beginning of the Sankirtan movement, which started in the premises or the houses of Srivas Thakur. It was not just one house, there were many houses, there was a courtyard, it was almost like an own little settlement, ideal for Lord Chaitanya to call his devotees together and teach them the ways and means and the mood of kirtan. It's, if you so want, the kirtan school of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Many important episodes took place during this time. For instance, how he revealed how all the forms of God that came from him, including Rama, and so on, the form of Lord Nrisingadev, etc. A very moving episode took place, which I recommended a few days ago to a person who had unexpectedly lost their father. The father just walked and dropped on the ground and was dead. It's the Shoka Shatana episode, where Mahaprabhu calls back the dead son of Shiva's Thakur and then consoles or relieves Shiva's Thakur and everyone of the natural grief which was there. Many episodes took place, but for our purpose today, there was one episode. The Navadvipvasis, the Chaitanya Bhagavad says, they had been with the Lord appearance after appearance. They were known to him. They assembled one day before the house of Shiva's Thakur. They had heard that there were always these nocturnal kirtans, but they were only for a selected group. So that morning, Gauranga Mahaprabhu came out of the doors of Shiva Sangam. He was very, very illuminant. You can imagine his tall body was emanating a golden light. His beautiful hair was falling down on his shoulder. His wide open eyes stretched to his ears. He was certainly a different personality than anything anyone had ever seen. But most remarkable was that there seemed to be waves emanating from his heart, waves of love that no one could escape, you know, they all were moved. So he said at that time to all these Navadvipvasis who had come with bananas and other fruits which they put before his head, he personally began to instruct them. Apane sabare prabhu kare upadesh. Upadesh means very important instruction. He said, hear now this Hare Krishna Mahamantra and become happy. Then the Lord proceeded to give the entire Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And sometimes we are asked, where is this Mahamantra in your scriptures? Well, it's here in text 76. Please, you know, please chant with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then Prabhu Bale, great master, said, Kohilon e Mahamantra. This is the Mahamantra. All of you go and chant this mantra according to a prescribed number. He spoke here of japa. By doing so, everyone will attain all perfection. Always chant. There is no other prescription. So he spoke of all perfection. This means ultimately, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said in the song, it will reveal your own form, who you really are, beyond all these masks and roles by which the world knows you, and also your relationship with Krishna. Everything will come. Now, in that section, there is a purport by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he directly describes the heart and the art of chanting. He makes mention of a traditional method which is very, very, it needs unpacking because it is very comprised. And today, in this lecture, we will do so in theory, and then in the workshop, we will try to do so in practice. Are you sufficiently curious?
Yes.
Good. Good. What it is, the secret is for now what is called in movie industry a cliffhanger. You're hanging. I want to know, but it's just now coming. So let us first lay the foundation by chanting this verse from Antya Lila, which says how it is really that the chanting is the most important feature of our devotional life that will bring all perfection. I will do it quickly because of the interest of time. Taramatya sarva shreshta nama sankirtana.
Taramatya sarva shreshta nama sankirtana.
Niraparate nama loile paya prema dana. Niraparate nama loile paya prema dana. I was thrown off when I saw Rati. This is of great interest, this name. So the translation reads like this. Of the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. And so let us go through this. So there are 9 processes of devotional service, of which the most important is to chant the holy names of the Lord. It must be done in a certain way, that is to avoid the 10 kinds of offenses, and if one does so, one easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. My dear devotees, these 9 processes of devotional service are important. They are given to humanity as means through which they can attain their original purpose, their original life, their free life, their natural life of love of Krishna. No? They are 9 in numbers. First there is Shravanam, where you start to listen to the glories of the name, the life stories of the Lord and his incarnations, but also the saints. Usually you require for Shravanam a good place, you know, which is disturbance-free, which is nicely aired out, and so on. And you need, of course, the scriptures there. You need a qualified reader of the scripture who can explain it. However, hearing the holy name in Nam Sankirtan, this can be done anywhere and is not dependent on any external arrangements like establishing a pure place or having a qualified reader or listener. Anyone with or without skill can chant. Therefore, yes, chanting fulfills this process of devotional service. We have prepared a slide for you, and the first slide is Shravanam. It means listening to yourself as you chant sincerely. That's the only thing which is necessary for making Shravanam related with the holy name, doing this. As we did this morning, listening to yourself, I mean, people, they are people, and I guess I belong a little to them. They like to hear themselves speaking. Dangerous people. But here is something else. This is not done in public. You sit for yourself, even though there are many, many Vaishnavas around you, and you are relating to Krishna. This is Shravanam. The essence of Shravanam you can find in this little formula, listen to you, which is related to the holy name. I want to show you how in the chanting the holy name there are all nine processes of devotional service. That's what it's about. The next is, and have you noticed, even when you are in the kirtan, you are a little bit by yourself because it's worship. Have you ever been in Krishna Balaram temple at these darshan times when there are so many people before the deity? All these people are usually for themselves, and if there is someone who makes a mobile telephone photo with him and his sweetheart next to them, you feel it's a disturbance. This is not the right place. There are better places to do this. This is for focusing on Krishna. So this is when you do Shravanam, when you do Kirtan. It's Shravanam. You listen to yourself, chant the holy name. You want that the holy name becomes manifested on your tongue. The next one we know is Kirtanam. This is the second process of the nine processes. And yes, when you chant the holy name, that's very simple. You sing and pronounce the name, and you glorify the Lord. You give him pleasure. I always imagine myself standing before the Lord and say, "You are so wonderful. You look how you look. It's so wonderful. Your hair is very good. And your dress, my God, this dress is so appropriate." Glorifying the Lord. And how you have appeared in so many forms and saved the conditioned souls. Wow, as you appeared as the Shingadev. This is how you glorify. No? The next is something which can be done. We will not yet show it on the... It's Smaranam. When you do chanting, you can enter a meditative form of chanting where you do something like eternal japa, internal japa of the holy names. But, you know, for normal Smaranam, you need, again, a pure place, and you need a somewhat disturbance-free atmosphere. Otherwise, if all these new impressions come, you will not be able to do this very nicely. And what you need also for Smaranam, a pure heart, which is not full with the latest Netflix series, you know, which constantly draws you into other memories. You need a pure heart so that you can remember Krishna. However, in chanting, again, you do not need to make many arrangements. This because if you can focus on the flow of the name, then you will practice remembrance. I would like to give you an example. Today I was giving this guided japa workshop, and I noted in the back there are the six Goswamis sitting in the Vrindavan atmosphere. I believe it's Giriraj Govardhan in the back. Am I correct? Looks like it. Then I was chanting, whoa, Vrindavan. Then it somehow happened, I thought, let me now give an example. Everyone looks at me. I can't just go into jet lag mood and sleep or do something. So I stretch my neck a little, and all of a sudden there was this picture of Krishna and the cowherd boys running next to the Yamuna. And I remembered, when you chant the name, these scenes come. Many devotees have told me this. Without external stimuli, without this beautiful installation of the six Goswamis and this very nicely lit up photograph of the Lord frolicking on the shores of the Yamuna, this memory can come when you do kirtan, when you become a little internal and stop socializing as you do this. So this is smaranam. Smaranam means as you sing the Naam, you think of the pastimes, form and qualities of the Lord. By the way, I intend to have this as a slide so that you can know how you can perform the ninefold devotional processes. But I see it's an interrupted slide, so somehow we will do something. Pada Sevanam. Prabhupada says it means being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called Pada Sevanam. What it means is you do service to the lotus feet, you touch the lotus feet, you circumambulate the a temple where he stands on his lotus feet. You visit holy places where he walked with his lotus feet, like Jagannath Puri, Dwaraka, Mathura, and so on. So Pada Sevanam, doing kirtan, means you can meditate that your chanting is a service offered from your heart to the lotus feet of the Lord. This ties into the next item, Archanam. Once when I was with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in the confidential or the confidence of God Brothers talking, I asked him, what do you do when you chant? And he said, I was for a long time a pujari in old Vrindavan, where I offered flowers of the nature and so on to the deities. And now when I chant, I do my archanam like this. I chant in the mood of worshipping the holy name, who is non-different from Radha and Krishna. And he told me actually that he offers flowers to Radha and Krishna. The flowers are the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You perhaps see now how here the chanting becomes something internal. It started with Smaranam, where we remembered Krishna, and then Pada Sevanam, now Archanam. There is an internal dimension of chanting. And if a devotee does not discover this internal dimension of chanting, the chanting might remain dry for a long time. He might stay in the headwaters of chanting, just in the beginning stages. Then there is the next process is Vandanam. Chanting itself is a prayer for service. The great acharyas have given this meaning. When you chant, you are saying, please engage me in your service. Because, my dear devotees, that's what you do in relationship to Krishna. When you stand before Krishna, one question comes up when you stand before Radha. How can I serve you? Often our acharyas say when you meet the divine couple, you will first services, you will sing for them. In the spiritual world, you know, there's singing, there's dancing. So these are preferred services, you know. So you will sing for them. Teach me how to sing your songs. This is a prayer of Prabodhananda Saraswati. Then there is Dasya. Harinam is chanted in the mood of service. I remember His Holiness in Adumna Maharaj, Dasya. I know that comes a little later. How to make Krishna happy is the meaning of my life. This is actually when you move into chanting, and I can only say, I feel sometimes a kirtan leader learns faster. You have to come to the level where you find the melodies which Krishna might like at this time of the day, or which is appropriate. We hear this in the Bhagavatam, that the cowherd boys were singing for Krishna appropriate melodies that were fitting to his mood and the time of the day. For instance, when he was resting, they would not go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You know. Hare. Then already Krishna nods off because it's so long. And so on. Then there is Sakyam. As you become purified, you naturally begin to feel closer to Krishna. And Indradyumna Maharaj remembers how he once asked Srila Prabhupada, or he was there when Prabhupada was asked, how should we chant, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, just chant like this, my dear friend, my dear friend. This is called Sakyam, where one feels so close to the Lord that he is mighty. Do you have friends? Sometimes we have only these short meetings, my dear devotees. Friends are so important. When you are with your friend and you see him after a long time, maybe he just comes out of the Ganga, you know, and he is there before you. You go, my dear friend. And you quickly look in your bag if you have a laraba inside or something to give. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm not hired by the company. The last item, which is all there in chanting, my dear devotees, it's all there. It's Atma Nivedanam. Our usual sense of I and mine is completely annihilated, and one gives up this false identity with the world, I and the illusion of possession, and then one is freed from bondage and one can fully surrender to the Lord. This is how this ninefold processes of devotional service can be done when you chant. This is also very simple way for doing the other processes. You might be needing a temple, you know, where the deities are, and you can engage in deity worship, or you might have to have a book and a reader and sharing the thing. In chanting, you are really self-sufficient in your ninefold processes of devotional service. However, this only works if you become interested to chant with bhakti. If you remain on the level where you just chant for the melodies and the association, we have a good time, party time, let's chant. The party time in ISKCON is Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and then pizza. You know, if you remain on that level, you will miss the most sweet dimension of the holy name. There is one example which I like to remember. It's an amazing devotee who got initiation from an unwilling guru in the most unusual way. I don't recommend it, but this is what he did. There was this very qualified guru, Ramananda. He lived in Varanasi. And Kabir, who was born in a Muslim, some Muslim background is there, wanted to have his initiation into the name of Ram. So, but Ramananda had heard about this insistent new Bhakta at that time. He was a weaver who was all day working really hard by weaving cloth on his loom and selling it in the marketplace. He had heard, this weaver wants to become your disciple. Ramananda said, there is a limit how many people I can guide, and the limit is reached already. So Kabir, the weaver, thought, I know that every morning when it's still dark, he goes down in the Manikarnika Ghat, it's a bathing ghat, you know, these steps, and he takes his bath in the river Ganga. I will be there. Listen what he did. He laid himself down in a stretched out fashion, Dandavat, on one of the steps of the Ghats. So Ramananda comes down to take his bath. His feet know their way. He has gone there 50-100 times already in his life. He doesn't need a torchlight. He can go there in his dream. And all of a sudden, he steps on a human being. It's the weaver. And his feet are wobbling, because it's not a firm step, it's a human being has a chest, and when you step on it, it presses, or if he is an elder, he may have some fat on his body, so he, and Ramananda goes, Ram, Ram, he's shocked, and he continues. As he goes down to take his bath in the Ganga, the weaver said, thank you, Guru Maharaj, you have initiated me by saying the name Ram into my right ear. He must have lied. You know, I don't know how he was lying there, but this is what is given at the time of initiation. Yes, there's the name is given. Ramananda said, what is this? You can't trick me. But then he heard one song which the weaver sang, and this song is so nice. I would love at this moment to be Gauravani and be able to give you the Gauravani tune. She's very talented, but I can't, so I will just have my little orchestra here. I will pit it. Put it for you on D. O Lord, I weave the cloth of your name. The fruitless toil of weaving for the world, some ordinary cloth, has come to an end. I have attained the dazzling state of bliss, free from fear, free from pain. I'm the weaver, O Lord, of thy name. Beautiful, no? Free from fear, free from pain. I'm the weaver of thy name. This is poesy, you know, free from fear, free from pain. I'm the weaver, O Lord, of thy name. I weave and reap the profit of an inner exchange with you. I'm the weaver of the Lord's name. And this is what Kabir, after his unusual initiation, you would say, did. He was just chanting Ram, Ram, Ram. He was sometimes found dancing on the marketplace. He was lost in the love of Godhead, yes, because he was the weaver of the Lord's name, free from fear and free from pain. Yes. So this shows a little bit the point which we wanted to make, that there's the conventional application of the nine processes of devotional service require place, time, circumstances, everything. The chanting of the holy name as a special concession is given to us, and it is not dependent on these external arrangements. You don't even need instruments for it, like Kartals Medanga. You can sing it. Hari Bhakti everywhere. Hari Bhakti Vilas quotes the Linga Purana here. While walking, you can chant. While traveling around, you can chant. Even while walking backwards. I don't know when you walk back. Maybe when you're I don't know when you walk backwards. Maybe I should try. While standing or sitting, while going to sleep, when you're eating, and even with your mouth full, when breathing out or breathing in, out of respect, when you breathe in, you chant mostly mentally. And then comes the out-breath. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. There is the Rishi way of chanting. The Rishis chant by coordinating their breath with their ingoing and outgoing breath. And that's what you do. When you go in, you go. And then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Yama. This is how you can do it. And you will see this breath coordination. It takes a few years to do that, but when you do it, the mind is absolutely focused. It cannot go anywhere. When you speak, when you joke, with or without faith, who was chanting without faith? Ajamil, yes. Naam gives benefit to all. However, when you do it with bhakti, then the benefit is not just ordinary benefit, it gives you love for Krishna. And I promised you to surprise you a little. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wrote a comment in the section where Lord Chaitanya instructs the Navadvipasis who come with offerings of love to him. He gives them a means which I must say will become the motto for this day. One achieves perfection in chanting mantra when one keeps the vibrated sound within his heart and what controls his materially attached mind. This is an amazing quotation which speaks about something that is a must for those who want to go deeper in their chanting and want to chant with absorption and out of taste. You must draw the mind which is busy with this world into the heart and there chant from that safe place. And when the mind runs out of the heart or out of the chanting, you must control it. My dear devotees, you might have heard it from me before, but I want to say one of the greatest meetings that impressed my spiritual life was with a drunken man called Fritz Monarch. I lived on an island, well protected by loving parents and So on a little wild boy near to the ocean, you can imagine like this. And I had unusual friends. And one of my friends was a professor from the University of Hamburg who had left the university. As far as I know, I'm not so sure, he was professor of philosophy because he thought our modern society repeats lies and is not connected with the truth. So he did not know Krishna consciousness, and I was living on the island. I had not met the devotees, but he very much appreciated me. He was thinking life doesn't make a sense. He was drinking, and in the winter time, he would steal a bicycle or something so that the police would put him into the warm prison, and he would spend the winter there. He was what we call in Germany an artist of life. Very extravagant, you know. But he was the wise man of the island. So how this goes together is difficult to understand from our perspective as devotees, but I don't want to argue. Maybe he was not a wise man. Can't argue this. So once I came, and he was there on the bench in the park, and he asked me, you know, I came from school and I wanted to go home to be there for lunch. And he said, stop. Where are you going? Please sit here on the bench. Can you give me an answer why the human being is so conflicted? I was very young. Conflicted? What is conflicted? Well, you know one thing is right, but then you do another thing. Don't you know this as a child? You know you should be a good boy, but then you steal a banana from your neighbor. You know, why are we so conflicted? He left it on a simple platform because I was a child. I could ask you, why are you so conflicted? You know that the only goal of your life is to become Krishna conscious, but you're acting in different ways. So how can you get, asked Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that which is waiting in the east by walking to the west? Does not work. But we are conflicted. We can't be always good and act according to reason. There are other forces working in us, very primal forces, very untamed forces, and so on. And he said, listen, the devil made the human being from clay. He took clay and formed a human being. But no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't make it alive. So he told the mouse, go into the bathroom of God. When the old man comes in the morning, he will sneeze into a towel and get me that towel which has the breath of God. I think then, with that breath, I can make my creation work alive. So at that time, you must know, the mice were able to fly. They were what we call in German Fledermäuse. I think you call them, what are these small bats? Bats? Bats, yes. And the German word for them, for bats, is flying mice, if you translate it. It's important. So the mouse went into the, in America you would say, restroom of God. And in the morning the Lord came. He was still a little tired. He prepared himself. And as it was said, he took a towel and hachi, he made a sound and his breath in it. The flying mouse, or the bat in American English, saw this was a chance. He waited when God was ready and took the towel down to the devil, and the devil said thank you and put the towel with the breath of God over that clay human being, and the human being took in a deep inhale, looked with vacant eyes, sparkling eyes full of intelligence and spirit into the round, and the devil said, you are mine. This moment God came and said, no, he's not yours, he's mine. Because without his breath, not his breath, my breath, he would have no spirit, he would not be alive. So he belongs to me. But where would he go without the body which came from me? So God said, okay, you can have the body, but I will have his spirit. I have given him the spirit. And when he turns to me, he's totally mine. Okay, that's fair, half, half. But you will see, said the devil, I will make them turn away from you. My dear devotees, you must know that there is the spirit in you, the spirit which was given by God to you. It is in your heart. There is the material heart, the bodily or physical heart, which I hear pumps a total of 7,500 liters of blood throughout the body in a day. That's something. 7,500 liters. I would love to see it one day. You know, it would be a big quantity. There is the emotional heart, or you could say the heart in which the mind is sitting. But then you do have a spiritual heart in which the self is residing, in Paramatma. And this spiritual heart contains things which animals don't have. Self-awareness. Maybe a little animal has. Conscience, which tells you, oh, this was not so good, I can do better. The spirit of the Lord which is in you is the idea of God which you have, which anyone has. And the certainty of the Lord's existence. The spirit which the Lord has given into this spiritual heart is the awareness of our complete dependence on him. This awareness comes to everyone, even an atheist, if his material arrangements collapse and fall sloppy dead on the ground. Then the atheist turns to the, oh, Supreme One, save me from this one, and so on. This awareness is in everyone. The stirrings, that means the early awakenings of your conscience, this may have stirred in you and brought you, I should go to one of these holy name retreats and work on my own japa. That's my point, on my holy name. And also the spirit tells you when you walk through the world, am I missing out on something? It's the lack of contentment with anything the world can give you. So it's this spiritual faculty that distinguishes the human heart from the hearts of animals. The animals have the faculty of will and desire. They can strive towards a goal, a banana for instance. They have fury. But the spiritual faculty in the heart which manifests independently from the intellect, is that conscience or consciousness of our spirit. It is the most important human endowment, and unfortunately, it is very, very covered. It comes from time to time, and it is awakened when you sit in kirtan and you think. Have you ever been in kirtans and the kirtan is over and everyone starts to now talk ISKCON language, this and that, where's something to eat, Prabhu, and so on and so forth. Wow, that was nifty, wasn't it? And so on. And you are sitting there and you say, something has happened. At the moment, I don't feel like joining the herd. What has happened, I do not know. But perhaps something that was long covered has been awakened. And something like a feeling of repentance comes. Oh no, I'm... Some humility comes, not the humility which is fashionable. I'm your humble servant, Prabhu. No, the humility or meekness. And perhaps even momentarily a deep sadness of your failures. All these and other spiritual feelings are completely foreign to animals and also to people who live a superficial life. They are not there. They are there in the human beings. But unless we learn to draw our intellect and mind down to where the spirit is, where this breath of God, if you want to tell it in the old story, I learned it's a story which comes from Finland. But let's stay in our Krishna conscious terminology. We all are parts of Krishna. That means we have something of Him in us. We are not God, but we are parts of the Lord, and the part carries the spiritual essence in it. And this comes when the union of our thoughts and our personality with these spiritual feelings in the heart happen. This is the real initiation. When you come away from the material level and you receive a union with that spiritual partners, it's a new English word, I know, it's why not everyone, and foreigners can, that partners, that being part and having these things. So therefore chanting must come from this place, and any other chanting is only chanting of the voice and the chanting of the focus. There may be many instructions, there may be books, there may be nice melodies, but ultimately, my dear devotee, your chanting must issue from the revived spiritual part in your heart. Revived, it's no longer sleeping. Therefore, the principal thing over and above everything is to bring your mind into the heart and stand before the Lord and cry out to Him, oh, please accept me, please accept me. Should He accept the body? Earth, water, fire. Should He accept your educational training and your mind? No, the me is the real me, the real part. And go on standing before the Lord, or sitting is also okay. And unceasingly, this is the delta of chanting, day and night until the end of your earthly life, which is doomed for the ultimate failure to die, no? Stand before the Lord and chant before the Lord. My dear devotees, have you understood what I wanted to say? How can you say no at this stage? There's a statement of Prabhupada which we want to... At least I have it here. But the idea is, one achieves perfection in chanting the mantra when one keeps the vibrated sound within the heart and controls his materially attached mind. It's not a statement. It is more than a statement. It is an example. Can you see Prabhupada chanting? Do you feel that he is absorbed? And see, there is his bibek, you can see. I don't know where this photo was taken. It looks like the Radha Damodara temple when he visited it. So draw the mind into the heart. Now keep it there, because it's there where your divine instruments lie. Here is where the spiritual endowment of the Lord lies. And we all stumble over it, like a room in a palace, where we sometimes open the door, whoo, and look inside. We see conscience, we see repentance, we see all these spiritual awareness, and we see, I only need the God now, I only need the Lord now. We stumble in it, but then we close it and go back to life as usual. And that is something we should look at. And I believe for all of you, if you understand how it is said that chanting is the most important of the nine processes of the holy name, you will understand this only if you enter into the spirit of these nine processes of devotional service. We did this, and maybe Ram Govinda, you know more about can we chant these? Can we give these two slides? Do you have a WhatsApp group? Or someone who's not on the WhatsApp group, Ram Govinda knows what that is and how to get into it. And then we can send these two slides and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Will you make a note of it so that forgetfulness has no chance? Sometimes we hear kirtan leaders, they go in the midst of the kirtan, chant from your heart. Have you heard this? And I especially cringe when I hear the young new upstarts. Chant from your heart. Madhava said it, I also have to say it. There is a deep thing behind it. It's authorized. It means you know from which place you chant. We do many things from before we do things. You should always see from which place you are speaking. For instance, when you speak to someone, do you do this from a place of compassion, of empathy, or do you do it from a place of judgment? Why is your dhoti dirty? You know, you have to see from where are you speaking. If you would speak from compassion, you would say, I will wash today dhotis. Can I wash your dhoti as well? It's the place from which you do anything will decide so much about what comes out of your mouth and what you do. So if we learn to draw go down from the mental platform, which always is in the dualities. I like this, I dislike this. I like him, I dislike him. Or something in the middle. When you go from this constant mental work, which is happening, to the heart, you go to a place of peace. You go to a divine place. When you go to the spiritual heart, I mean, not just the emotional heart. And you will access new dimensions of chanting. How to do this practically is the subject matter of the workshop. Now let me look at my wristwatch. Oh, I'm perfectly on time. This is a scandal. Hare Krishna. So let us see, is there one or two questions? Thought over questions, not thoughtful questions. Krishna, Krishna. How did you like my story with Fritz? It is a wise story, no? Yes, I see Gopi Manjari is an Ananta Gauranga. We will stick with these two because of time.
Thank you, Maharaj. I want to ask, if you realize you're not and you can't choke from the heart due to the restlessness and all that has happened during the week, the day, but you're showing up, there are times when it's just not there. Does Krishna still hear us?
You heard Ajamil? And he was really not in a good japa mood, you know. He was just afraid. Yes, he hears you. He definitely hears you. He is very kind. That's why the Hari Bhakti Vilas, that this verse says, by walking backwards. While eating and so on, one can attain perfection. One can attain things, but one may not attain love. In devotional life, it's very important that you read the books and to understand what is the purpose of all this. Why do we have all these temples? What do we want? What is the goal? Because that will inform you why there are certain things and why you are asked to do certain things. If you don't understand the goal, you will never understand the way. Never. If you don't understand the goal of Krishna consciousness, you won't understand the sadhana which brings you there. But the Lord hears you. Yes, the Lord is so close. He has not left us. He is in our heart. He hears us. And of course, He understands our turmoil. He understands that the week was totally overwhelming for us. Too much to do. Do you experience this in America also? After COVID, everything has increased in speed, you know, the life. Trying to run after your life, you know. And yes. Yes. Lord, yes. But, you know, we go to... But you, also Gopi Manjari is a good name, I believe. Gopi Manjari. Chanting will always be a trouble, an unwanted promise you made, a chore, a duty, which if you don't learn to chant with taste, no? I have been informed, I was, that at least in Europe, I don't know how it is in America, 90% of the devotees find it difficult to chant the 16 rounds. 90%! That's a big percentage. Should we now judge them? Or should we ask, what is the difficulty and how can we, might we overcome the difficulty? This is a better thing. And the reason why it is, they have not learned to draw their mind away from the multitude of things and bring it into the sanctuary of the spiritual heart. There's a sanctuary. It's right with you. Gopi Manjari, it's an undiscovered nectarian space in your life. Sacred space, it's called Dahara Akash in Sanskrit. It's where the where God resides. Wow! It's the God room in your life, and that's to go there. That is good. Hare Krishna. So Ananda Gauranga, and then we will end. Yeah, and Anand, and then Gopi Manjari, you have to switch into your role as the MC. Yes.
Maharaj, I was appreciating the story you shared because the influence of our temporary nature and our spiritual nature and kind of needing to overcome one so the other can shine. Bhakti Shri Swami gave the example of which dog you feed, that mm-hmm. is your dogs. And I was thinking about what you said earlier, the risk or everything that comes with being superficial. And I found that one of the challenges in that regard is we often don't want anyone to know that we have flaws. And I think it's a human, it's vulnerable, it's something that we may feel embarrassed about. Right? I'm struggling to chant my rounds. And with the other devotees, maybe I don't necessarily want everyone to know. And sometimes that can become very lonely. Trying to face our fears can be a lonely path because it's not something that's public. So is there a way to associate with the devotees? Because the devotees are really how we progress. We can't progress alone. So in this area that often we find ourselves wanting to pull away from the devotees or even from our spiritual master, we don't want him to know what we struggle with for the same reasons. How is it that we can address that? Because it's so crucial to being able to chant sincerely is to not have that duality there.
Yes, when we live a fear of when we live with fears, we hide them, and then we hide sometimes essential parts of us. We go in a fortress, which has a very, very good door of South Indian teak wood, very hard wood, and we don't let anyone in. Yes, we have also a small ladder. We can get down from the fortress, get before the door, and says, "You are amazing." I feel fine, and engage in superficial talk. But our real part is inside the fortress, suffering. The sufferings of a lonely person. There are devotees who pray, "Oh, my dear Lord, take a battering ram." You know, that's a big heart, you know, the thing, you know, and breaks through the teak wood gate of my fortress so that I stop dying out of loneliness. I can only say, find devotees who are true friends. And find is, I would say, develop relationships of true friendships. It develops so that you are absolutely safe and unguarded, and they understand the humanness. You know, the human beings make mistakes. This is as much part of their life as the nose which they have. But often lonely people who hide their mistakes, they become so judgmental when they see others doing it because they have not integrated their shadows. They have not learned to live with themselves. So I can only say develop this relationship. It takes time. It can't be demanded, you know. Oh, you look sympathetic to me. You have the same heights as me. Can we be friends, you know? No, it needs to be developed. And trust needs to be earned. They need to trust you and so on. And then this is very, very, very important to, so that you can look at the mistakes. The paradox of life is, Only when you accept your mistakes can you grow beyond them. When you never accept them, when you never accept the perhaps you are a little, you know, that you can never, never ever face that, you can never grow beyond it. Krishna and Ananta Gauranga, speaking of the holy name, when you go into a real japa reform, you will see many mistakes. Oh my God, I didn't know that my mind is that active in the world. Ooh. But if you are willing to do this and go through this, you will develop wonderful, excellent habits. Good, my dear devotees. My feeling is you are surprised by the German Swami. Why is he talking this spiritual stuff? The German Swami is on a mission this time in America. I think we need to look at ourselves and we need now processes that work, not just theory. Yes, I could give you a lecture. I have so many notes, full of notes, you know, of how glorious the holy name is and so on. Yes, I believe it. And I want to give, I also will give one lecture about it. It's called The Descent of God. You know, you will see, ooh, so much glorification. But we need also to be a little bit practical here because we face the problem is right before our eyes. We are needing spiritual upliftment and we don't have it. So we must now think, how can I do this? Perhaps new approaches. Why not be open for something that, okay, I tried so many things that don't work. New things, you know. And this is what is necessary. The verses thing in our spiritual life is to accept our stagnation. This is the way it is, and my GBC is also spiritually stagnating. I mean, I didn't mean anything against the GBC. My neighbor, they're trying their best to serve the devotees, the GBC. My neighbor is also stagnating. Why? This is the worst thing. If you think this is normal, so you're all looking at me as if I'm a hell and brimstone preacher. You know the Christians? Do we say in America? Ah, okay. I will go down from the gas. The gas pedal. Come to the workshop, it's very pleasing. I will tell some jokes. I thank you very much for listening.